and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bruvs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and that's Ben Mandelker over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
How you doing today, baby?
I am just great. Thank you. Refreshed from a lovely weekend of doing nothing. I hope you had a happy Easter, Ronnie, and everyone else out there who celebrated.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I went to brunch with my parents and my meemaw. Okay, so we went to take her to like a little Easter brunch because that poor thing, it's like getting out of the old folks home. I mean, I've never seen a woman giggle so much. Every time she's out, she's like, oh, what's that? It's a billboard, Mima. Okay, they've had them for years. So we take her out and I'm on a group text with my friends and someone said, he is risen. So I opened the text and it was a big hard penis painted like an egg. And my grandma's looking right at the...
And did she giggle?
She just looked at it and just kind of looked away. I mean, I could see her erasing her brain, you know? Like, I could see a squeegee going across her brain. Mortified.
Just like, send me back. Send me back to the home. I remember my dearly departed grandma Sylvia back in, I don't know, the late 90s. I was watching that movie Chasing Amy. Remember that movie with Ben Affleck and Joey, whatever her name was? So
Joey, not Lawrence. Yeah.
She's like, remember not Lawrence,
but Adams
Lawrence.
Or something. It was like Adams or McAdams. It's like remember Joey, everybody was like, oh my God, bisexuality. What?
Yeah. She was like a pioneer of like, manic pixie dream girl with like squinty eyes. Like, what? That's crazy. You know? So yeah. She, that was like her the entire movie. Like, I'm just like fun. I do fun things. So, but there's like one scene in that movie. I don't remember the context. I think they're like comparing sexual things they did or whatever. And it's like a really vulgar scene in terms of language where it's like, yeah, one time I was like fucking a girl and then I had something going up my ass and then I came on her face. It was like just like it was like a really like obscene language scene. I think it was actually famously obscene at that time. And I was like watching and my grandma came up the stairs and was like, so what are you watching? And the scene is just like playing out like my pussy in a C word and blah, blah, blah. And she just looks at me and she just like starts chuckling. And I was like, oh God, this is so awkward.
Oh, times, how you've changed. Remember when pictures started moving?
So speaking of moving pictures, we have some to discuss today. We got Real Housewives of Atlanta, and we've got Married to Medicine. And I'm just going to say it. I'm going to need more from these shows. I really need more. I mean, we sort of said it last week. I mean, you definitely said it last week. But I need more. Atlanta should be done. I'm done. I mean, I enjoyed that there was a fight. That was fun. But it was a fight about Bolo again. And you know me, I actually love a storyline that lasts a long time. Most people are like, why are we talking about this again? I'm like, no, let's get into it. But this is going, it's a fight about nothing. And it's about Marlo. Atlanta is, it's past its due date. It needs to be done. And Married to Medicine, honestly, I have the same problem with Married to Medicine every year, which is that it comes back. And I'm happy, and they're so funny on it, like, you know, Heavenly with her shade and whatever Toya is doing. Like, I like all of them so much, and I think that there's so much sweetness to, like, with Simone and her family. But at the same time, I also feel like every single year, it's like, oh, well, Scott and Contessa aren't really connecting. And this is their second year of not really connecting, but it feels like these storylines of these couples not connecting.
Contessa needs to go in general. And I think that Contessa has never really fit in with everybody, but she's like kind of a one-season housewife in my mind, and they've just keep her on forever. It's like, you guys had the audition didn't work, say goodbye now, okay? I cannot watch Contessa and Scott hate each other anymore. Like, I don't care about either one of them. Okay, get them out. Get them off the TV.
I'm just kind of like over watching multiple season arcs about strained relationships. I mean, look how long it took for Quad and Dr. Gregory to finally call it quits. That took like four seasons, I felt like. You know, it's just always the same thing. It's always strained relationship. And what are we going to do to get you back together? Let's go off to a beach resort and we're going to have this weird Dr. Simone group therapy. It's like always the same. And I know it's real, and I know a lot of people love the show because it actually feels the most real And I just I'm at a point where I feel like the show is fun to maybe just watch, but to recap it, it's really hard. It's really hard. It's like, oh, here it is. Like everything. It's just another scene. And on top of that, the show has become this show where something happens, and then we spend a minute or 2 minutes with everyone talking about what they would do in that situation. It's like, oh, Damon took out the dishes. And then it's like, let's go see what Simone and Cecil, let's see. It's like, oh, Cecil does the dishes in my household. It's like, oh, I try to do the dishes, but she's always telling me how. And then we go to Jackie and she's like, I don't like to do dishes. I have paper plates. And then we go to Toya and she goes, I just bought 10 dishes. You know, it's like everyone has to weigh in on every little minute detail. And I think that's like amusing to watch, but man, when you're sitting there trying to recap, I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah, well, Married to Medicine, I'm not quite there yet, just because I laugh so hard at Heavenly, mostly Heavenly.
Heavenly's great.
Honestly, I mean, she cracks me up the whole time. Real Housewives of Atlanta, yeah, I'm at that but point they, with that. Bring back Carlos King. If you're not going to bring back Carlos King, stop wasting my time, because this is a waste of my time. And this is like a really bad bachelorette party where the only good thing is a stripper. And then what else? The food sucks. Like, there's no good food. There's no good music. There's fluorescent lighting everywhere. Like, the rest of the party sucks, but they want to sail on because they got a decent stripper, okay? It's going to take more than a big dick to keep me into this season, okay? Keep it moving, people.
And I think that what you're saying, I guess maybe to sort of, like, crystallize my thoughts a little bit more, is that Heavenly is super funny. Toya is funny. When Mariah was on, Mariah was awful, but she was also really funny. And a lot of the – Simone's – like, a lot of them are really funny, but as a recapper – it's hard to sit there and be like, and then Heavenly said this, and that was really funny. Like, it's the reason why we don't recap sitcoms, right? Or comedies, because it's kind of hard to find the comedy if the comedy has already been presented for you and be like, oh, so Heavenly said that, and that was such a funny moment. And we can, like, we say it, and we do have to acknowledge when things are funny, right? But like, it's hard. But I also think that, I think we're not totally alone in being a little bit over these shows. I mean, I'll just say it, like, our numbers with these shows are definitely lower, you know? I think that people are just kind of like not interested as interested as they were, maybe, especially Atlanta earlier in the season, you know?
Well, I think Atlanta people weren't interested earlier in the season. It was getting like record low ratings. It's not till the Bolo thing happened.
Bolo thing was huge.
And now they're trying. Yeah. And that was a great episode.
It's a great two, episode. It know. Gave it great energy. And then the next two episodes or so were really fun. And it was like, okay, Atlanta found its life again.
Yeah. But then, you know, that's what I'm saying. You can't just coast on the stripper. And that's kind of what they're doing. I think it's been a rough time for Real Housewives of Atlanta, because speaking of coasting, they have been able to coast because they've had the highest ratings by far of any show on Bravo for years and years. Deservedly so. I mean, it's been a really excellent show for most of that time. And, you know, when things went off the rails with it, they just kind of didn't do anything to fix it. They were like, well, who cares? We're still the highest rated show. And now they're not. And so,
yeah. And now you have,
like, are you going to do something? We love this show. Like, we love these shows. Like, it's really rare that you're going to catch us just sitting here bitching about how much we don't like shows on Bravo.
Yeah, we say this because we care. We say it because we care.
Fix it. Fix it.
But yeah, I mean, and on top of that, it's like, yeah, the ratings for Atlanta are down a lot, and Nene's out there taking credit for it. It's not because of you, Nene.
Oh no, it sucked with you too. This is not a new phenomenon for Atlanta. It sucked for at least 3 years, and most of it's because of you. It's like everyone got so scared to do anything because you were so rude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were so, and you sucked so much air out of the room. You know, you were part of what needed to be fixed a while back. You know, so don't take any credit. You're not getting any credit for me, lady.
You're not. I don't know what needs to be fixed. I agree. I think showrunner, if it's not Carlos King, then someone who's like really good. Because honestly, I look at you know, some of these other shows. Some of these other shows are like really entertaining to me, and they have no right to be as entertaining to me. But I think it's because they've got good showrunners. So, I don't know. That was my little rant. And I don't want – and by the way, I also – this is really important to me, and I think it's important to you too. We're not trying to yuck on anyone's yum. We're not trying to be like, boo, because that sucks. Like, if you love this show, if it's like so entertaining to you and you're loving both these shows, I think that's great. Like, more power to you. I'm not – I've been in that situation where I love something and everyone hates it, and then I like feel like shit, you know? I'm not really trying to do that. It's more just like venting about like – It's just hard on a recapper.
It's hard, okay.
When you have to tune in on when you have to show up on Monday, and it's like, oh, we gotta like squeeze water out of this rock, you know? It's hard. I mean, I will say, thank God for you, Ronnie, because if it weren't for you, I mean, like, at least we, you know, I do have fun squeezing that water out of the rock with you, you know? And
even a bad day at this job is still a good day. Like, yeah. We're really lucky that this is what we get to do. So yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Like we always still have fun doing it. But yeah, I see what you mean. It gets frustrating when it's, you know, it's one episode that literally nothing happens except fighting about Bolo some more, and then Married to Medicine is mostly just watching Michael go away and then figuring out why Jackie and Simone are still mad at each other, which doesn't make any sense.
It was a lot of Michael going away. It's a lot of Michael. Here comes cousin Verna, who we never met before, but let's hang out with her for 5 minutes while she hugs Michael, say goodbye. Hey, remember that time where Michael was young and said something at the table? Let's talk about that. I wonder if Michael's going to text any girls. How's Michael going to do? Is Michael driving too fast?
Yeah. Well, I don't want anybody to tell me that God doesn't watch reality TV. You know, because whenever somebody prays and they're like, dear Jesus, it's like God is not watching Survivor. Well, I've never really believed that. I believe that God is watching, okay? And I can tell because he sent a tropical storm over to Atlanta. He was like, just shut up already.
Oh, well, Bette Midler was right.
I've had it. I want to just clean this season. Just wipe it.
Yeah. And he didn't even say, here's the thing, though. He doesn't even send a cool hurricane. He sends Hurricane Zeta, which, unless that's like a vague reference to Catherine Zeta-Jones, which I don't believe it is. It's like, wow, you had one of the alphabetized ones where they ran out of names. They just had to start using like Greek letters.
I'd like to believe it was Catherine Zeta-Jones. I mean, if you want to talk about a lukewarm storm, it's her. Okay.
That hurricane just like that hurricane actually went through several lasers to get to New Orleans. It's a very slinky hurricane. And it's arrived and it's singing. It's like, and all that jazz. It's like, does that hurricane have a bob?
I wish. Oh my God. Yeah, that Catherine Zeta-Jones I like. The Chicago Catherine Zeta-Jones. I mean, I don't like really hate any Catherine Zeta-Jones, but I don't really love any Catherine Zeta-Jones either, which I guess is my point.
Yes, I agree. Well, that's
like a lukewarm storm coming in.
She needs to do, she should have like, she didn't really do, she hasn't, I feel like Michael Douglas kind of took Catherine Zeta-Jones away from us. Like this was like Chicago was the launch pad for her to start really developing as a gay icon. And she did some sort of like forgettable stuff with like George Clooney and things like that. But she's really been MIA. And at this point, I mean,
it's Michael Douglas. I blame you. It's like every time she gets a leg up in the world, he's like, my throat hurts. It's like, okay, Michael Douglas, okay? We know that you have, like, throat herpes or whatever the hell you got. No one cares, okay? I ain't judging, but get a nurse. You're rich enough for a nurse. Let Catherine live. But then she does do things, and I'm like, please shut up, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, she'll do, she did a little night music somewhere, and I was looking for a, God, I'm so gay. Really, I'm really gay. Yeah. So I was looking for a recording of it for whatever reason to sing and cry to. And the only one I could find was her. Okay. And this is how she does it. She's like, send down the clothes. Shut up, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Okay. Get off of my little night music.
Remember that, like, that moment in 2001 where you had to, like, wrap your head around the idea that she was British or she was Welsh? Because my first exposure to her was in the Zara movie. So I thought she was Latina. And so I really had her. I was like, wait, she's Welsh? And I really like, it took me a moment to process that. And I think by the time I finally accepted that, she was off with Michael Douglas and getting ruined.
Yeah, ruined. So Tropical Storm, Catherine Zeta-Jones comes to New Orleans. And we've got a really fun time. And you know that we've got a fun time ahead of us because Drew's just going around going, isn't it fun? It's fun, right? Best trip ever. Am I right? Look at me. I'm in the kitchen. Our kitchen. Oh, my God. I love you so much.
I was like, this is not a good sign that the show opens up with both a hurricane and Drew racing into a fast casual restaurant.
Yeah. So,
So the girls all get into a bus.
This is so rude, but the girls are all getting into a bus. And of course, Candy's like, oh, hey, Marlo, I forgot you weren't at the twerking thing. I was like, yeah, that's part of the problem. Okay, put that on the season notes.
That they forgot, like they even forgot parts from their own story.
Yeah, it was 5 minutes ago, okay, in Atlanta time.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're like talking and in the bus, and there's this discussion about how Portia and Marlo have like mended things because they had that conversation with the bad audio last episode. And so they all arrive at this restaurant and they go into the kitchen and there's going to be a big surprise, which of course we already know from the previews. It's Big Frida. Big Frida is there.
Yeah, even Big Frida couldn't deal with them. She's just
Big Frida seemed like very bored.
Big Frida was even bored. And they start this scene off like they do in every scene now in Atlanta, where it's like, hi, oh my God, hi, hugs. Oh my God, it's Candy. Hi, Candy. Hugs to Candy. Oh my God, it's Cynthia. Hi, Cynthia.
Yeah. We get really later in the episode, we really get, I think, probably the worst example of that since Beverly Hills went to south of France and they all spent 15 minutes watching them walk down the staircase of the chateau. Be like, hi, we have that at Blaze restaurant later.
Yeah.
Looking forward to recapping that part.
Big Frida is going to be giving a cooking lesson to everybody, and they're going to make booty popping potatoes, you know, which has to start with the twerking lesson as well.
Did you mean to twerk in your potatoes?
And everyone's super excited to see her, and they basically just cook. Yeah?
Yeah, they cook. And then Candy and Marlo are talking about the conversation that Marlo had with Portia, and Kenya's there too. And Marlo is saying that how like the outcome of it was that Portia just wants Marlo to take baby steps with Kenya, which of course annoys Kenya, as it should, honestly. If like that's, I mean, Portia may not be wrong, but it is still kind of obnoxious to bring that up in front of Kenya. And Marlo bring that up in front of Kenya. Like, she didn't have to bring that up in front of Kenya. And she does it because she knows it's going to cause some issues.
Yeah, she's just trying to stir. And so she's like, yeah, you know, she's still upset about South Carolina. And so I said, we're going to set the record straight. Did you sleep with Bolo? And she said no. So I'm telling you right now, she said no. And Kenya says, well, that's a lie. Like, we all know that's a lie. And so now Marlo gets herself worked up. Because she doesn't like being lied to. So well, and that's the whole, lying to her.
Yes. That's the whole reason why that's when I realized, oh, the reason why you had that conversation last week, why you asked her that, is so that way you could set it up so that way now you could position yourself as the victim because you don't believe Portia is telling the truth. And you're going to – this way it's sort of like on the record that Portia directly lied to you when asked point blank. And now you can play the role of the good friend saying, oh, well, she told me they didn't, so they didn't, you know, and then she can like pretend to be convinced by Kenya. Yeah. And now she can be like, oh, well, you lied.
Yes. And also, Marlo, lying about who you're fucking, like you're still the one who won't tell us who your big papa is. After all of these years, we still don't know who buys you all of that and who buys you your home and all of this stuff. So please, Marlo. Please, Marlo. So, Candy's
we haven't seen Marlo's house in like 6 years.
We actually did. We saw it last season or this season. Maybe it was this season we saw it.
There was that closet. Yeah, that was last year. Anyway, continue.
So, Kenya says, I'm not going to be made a villain because I spoke the truth. You know, more of the same, basically. So, Marlo is just determined to be mad now. At Portia for lying to her. So they sit down to dinner. And I was expecting like a really smart ass blessing because it's like drag queen cooking class, you know? So I was expecting like a super bitchy prayer, but it was like a really sweet prayer. And by Frida.
I was expecting more. I thought Frida would be more entertained by what was going on. And I thought Frida was going to, like, I don't know. I thought Frida was going to be a bigger personality at the table.
A big sweetheart, basically. Yeah. She's like, hi, I'm a really sweet, good person. Anybody have anything they'd like to talk about? I mean, I feel like any gay at a housewives dinner would be like, oh my God, hi.
Yeah, I mean, I just
tell me about the hot dog king. Oh my god, does anybody still speak with Nene? What about Phaedra? She kicked out of everybody's real life or just a TV show? Tell me everything.
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of assume the rule is that, like, if you're at a table and you have if there's like a drag queen at a table and they're the only drag queen, they're probably just going to be doing whatever to be the center of attention at that moment, right? And so, like, I just sort of assume it would now be like, okay, Big Frida's holding court and gonna be cracking jokes left and right, and they're all gonna be just sort of like, you know, laughing and tittering and whatever. But no, Big Frida was like very demure, and
she was just like, I'm gorgeous and cook well. So what do you guys
want? I don't like confrontation. I was like, oh, okay.
Because it's just crickets. They literally play the sound of crickets because nobody's speaking for the first 5 or 10 minutes. And so Marlo decides to, you know, and handing it to Marlo, at least she's making an effort, right?
That's all I was going to say. Let's not bash the show for having nothing going on and then bash Marlo, because Marlo, I actually believe Marlo and Kenya are trying their darndest. Whether or not they're being effective, you know, I don't know if they're being good at it, but they are trying.
Right. So she tries this thing where she's like, okay, I have a question for you, Big Frida. I'm asking you this as a friend. Like, okay, Marlo. You're friends with someone who you love and admire, and you've been through a lot. And there's this other girl, and there's rocky years you had, and you didn't like things about her. You just wanted to kill her. But then she comes and tells you something about the other friend. And then you say, is that true to that friend? But then that true friend says it's not true. But then one friend is lying about the other friend. And then another friend is lying about another friend. So what? What was I talking about?
Yeah, Big Frida's like, I don't like confrontation. Just ends it like they were like, I don't know. I'm going back to eating.
Big Frida's
I'm
like,
nervous. I'm on camera.
Yeah, she's like, I like potatoes. I do not like confrontation. Any more questions?
Yeah. And she's like, I'm only engaging with full-on cast members, not friends of. Thank you.
So basically Marlo tries to keep going, right? But you know, I really like them both and they treat me right. But this person is stuck between two friends, whatever. So Portia's like, okay, well, obviously you're talking about me. So,
right. Yeah.
Do you have to say something, you know? And she's like, well, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. She's like, just say it. Just say whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. And now Marlo is, she's trying to position herself as this victim here, saying she just had all these draining conversations, et cetera. And, you know, people keep asking her about Portia. And then Kenya starts getting on the defensive. And she, Kenya says, well, I never accused anyone of anything, which is like, you literally created a new, like, Law and Order division devoted to Bolo.
Yes. And she's like, you know what? If you're going to tell the truth, tell the whole truth. I mean, why are you dragging Big Frida into this? You've upset Big Frida. Look at her. Look at her.
She's crying. She's crying. She's running away. Oh, no. Big Frida. So it's like, I'm telling the truth. Which, by the way, Kenya heard noises. I believe that Portia had sex with Bolo. I do believe it. I think it's within her right. I say more power to you. I'm proud of her. I want her to have more sex with Bolo. I think that Kenya she came downstairs and she heard sounds. She probably heard Portia. I do believe that too. And I believe Kenya heard something. I'm not even going to bother saying who cares because that's the obvious. But the point is this. I may believe this and Kenya may have heard things. But Kenya, when she says she knows the truth, she actually doesn't know the truth because she only heard things. And that's actually not – that's not enough. That's not enough. So she has to just kind of like, girl, we know. Like, listen, Kenya, we're all kind of agreeing with you in a weird way. Like, we all kind of know you're right. So just like, chill out care. Because you're pushing people off. Yeah.
Yeah. You're being like some puritanical weirdo. So Portia's like, I have nothing more to say. And Marlo's like, well, you motherfuckers talk about each other when I'm not there. And then Portia starts her like side fight of like, how you're talking to me. She's like, I am not a motherfucker. How dare you call me a motherfucker? And she's like, you know what? I'm going to do you then. Good night with your big asses. Good night, fakies. Bye. And so she gets up and storms out of the room. And then like immediately comes back into the room, keeps storming around the, you know, kitchens are tricky.
Yeah. No, it's very hard to know the difference between a glassy front door and a kitchen door. You know, it's very difficult. I don't know. She's going to exit through the kitchen. It reminded me when I remember one time when I was a kid, I got so mad at my brother. We're having a fight and I was in his room and I was like, well, I hate you. And I went out of the room and I went to slam the door, but I did it wrong. And the door closed very, very softly. And so then I went back and I said, I mean, and then I did it again. But so it'd be a little harder. And then everyone laughed at me. It was like that. It was like me doing like a retake. Like, let me do that again. Take two from the top. Ben having a tantrum.
So Marlo comes at the wrong door or the right door to find the right door. And she's like, oh, I'm going out another door then. You do not fuck with me. Ah! She's like, you don't fuck with yourself then. And Big Frida's just like, I'm very, very lost. It's like, what show did you think you were coming on, Big Frida?
I know. Big Frida's like, let me show you how to make a proper exit. You go into the kitchen, and if you go into the kitchen, you just stay in the kitchen until everyone goes away. Yeah. And Cynthia's like, what happened? What happened? What happened? I love how Cynthia has no idea what's going on this entire time.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So outside, Drew goes up to Marlo and is just trying to explain how Portia feels hurt. And inside, Portia's telling Cynthia that, you know, which is true, that Marlo's goal was just to get like a little nugget of information so that way she could place herself in between the two women and use it for attention.
Right. So Drew's like, come back inside. And Marlo's like, no, you are not the winner. Someone is a liar at that table. It's like the Last Supper, which I thought was cute for Easter. Aw. Basically, that's it, right? So Drew's apologizing to Big Frida, and Big Frida really does seem upset, which is hilarious. Yeah. Like, again,
at first I was like, they're being way like, I was like, you guys, like, Big Frida probably loves this. She's probably gonna go tell all her friends. But then when Drew went back there, Big Frida was like wiping things down, like, I tried my best. Like, you get to, like, she just sort of had this look like, this is what happens when you make yourself vulnerable.
Like mom after a family fight. Like, I'll just be in here cleaning up after the dinner I cooked.
I know Big Frida was really upset. You know, and rightfully so. I mean, I wonder if that restaurant, Big Frida owned that restaurant, and maybe Big Frida was upset because it was a botched branding opportunity. You know, like I noticed that on Atlanta, there's a lot of, or actually on All the Housewives, there's always a lot of discussion about like, this was my brand. This was supposed to be like, not in my restaurant. So,
well, she got her chef's hat everywhere, which says like cooking with diva. So or cooking with the queen or something. So I think it's like her cooking class or whatever. So maybe. Then Kenya back at the table, Kenya's like, well, Marlo is upset because she feels that Portia and her were real friends. And Portia's like, do not say my name. Do not say my name. Do not say my name.
Don't say my name. Don't say my name.
It's just a typical fight where Portia just keeps screaming, don't say my name, and Kenya's screaming,
I can say your name. I can say your name. I can say your name.
Yeah. And then Portia's like, keep my name out of your life. Keep my name out of my life. Don't say my name. Don't say Portia, Portia, Portia. So they do this for a very long time. And then Candy's basically like, listen, I'm going to keep it at 100. At the end of the day, what difference does it make if somebody decided to fuck a stripper? Which they did!
Yeah.
She's like, even if they did, like, she's like, and then Candy's like, well, even if they did, let's not lie. She's like, no, like, what difference would it make? And then Candy starts doing this thing, like, it's not going to make any difference in my life. It's like, Kenya, you can't. I think that what happened was that Kenya thought this was like a funny thing that they were all going to pile onto at the house and be jokey about, and no one co-signed her and she didn't want to back off of it. And now she has been pulled into this stupid ass controversy that she cannot get out of, and she's just looking for a way to get out of it now.
So she's like, you fucked Bolo. And Portia goes,
oh, yeah, I did. I fucked Bolo and the man who made the pig. I just fuck everybody.
She's like, yes, you do. And she says, yeah, and it was so good. She goes, yeah, I heard it sounded good. You got it wide open. That's how bad your pussy is. Oh, God. Okay, so then they keep doing this back and forth. And
Portia's like,
Portia goes, Portia's now what? Now what, bitch? And she's like, yeah. Do not call me that name.
Bitch. 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 Oh, you're definitely a bitch. 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 Bitch.
So, of course, it tells us, my calmness was sending her up the river. It's like, your calmness?
What are you talking
about?
You can't hurt me because I'd have to have respect for me. You have no power over me, David Bowie. It's like, okay, let's come out of Labyrinth. We're back in Labyrinth again.
Stop right, but that. them confronting it and Portia just being like, okay, so what if I did? Who cares? Like, everybody just saying, Kenya, who cares? So then Kenya turns it and she's like, well, it's not a matter if you fucked him or not, which they did, but, you know, it's now how everybody else has to deal with it in our own interpersonal relationships. What the fuck does that even mean? Okay.
Like, literally no one has to deal with it.
Oh, so frustrating. So then later on, Candy and Marlo have a one-on-one. And Marlo's like, I can't be friends with a liar.
Yeah. And yeah, because Candy is like, I don't want to react. I just want to, like, she senses that something deeper is going on. So Candy is like, she's like, well, listen, she gave you an answer, but it was not the answer that you wanted to hear, you know? And then Marlo's like, no, they gave me different liars. So, like, where do I go from here? Like, what do I do? You know? And Candy's like, well, it's not your business. It wasn't your pussy.
Yeah. So more weatherman. The weatherman really gets a lot of screen time today because of Hurricane still. Hurricane Catherine Zeta-Jones. So then LaToya goes to Kenya's room, and Kenya is steaming a shirt while she's wearing it with an iron, which is terrifying. And I have no silicone on me, but I still wouldn't do that. That is scary. Protect your investment.
Yeah. I was like, I was like, wait, it was so quick. And I was like, wait a second. Is Kenya doing what I think she's, is she ironing her chest right now? Wow. Yeah. And there's more Al Roker talking about Catherine Zeta-Jones coming to NOLA. And then, LaToya is in Kenya's room, and she's like, oh, you all drain me. I'm like, no, LaToya, you drain us. You drain America. Please stop. Just, I can't deal with LaToya on top of everything else. Yeah. So
basically, the big news is that Portia left. She left. And then Drew comes to Cynthia's room to tell her that Portia
And left. By the way, let me tell you something. Portia leaving, this is a prime example of why this show is not working. Because why – like – yes, she may be annoyed by what's going on, and maybe what she left because of a hurricane, maybe. But to me, that is an example of someone who's like, they're saying shit I don't want to deal with. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave in the middle of the night because I can do that because I'm a star of the show. And what are they going to do? Fire me? And that's actually like, that contributes to when I feel like a show is not working is when a star can just call the shots like that. And, you know, like she should have been there and like mix it up. Like she should have just been had to do scenes, you know, like everyone else. You look at some other shows and they're just like, they are just forced to do scenes with
you
each other.
You show up to work. You got to show up, you know? I mean, listen, if my job was to just walk in a room and say Kenya's an asshole, I'd be thrilled. And guess what? I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look at New Jersey, you look at New York, you look at Potomac, you look at even Dallas. They're pretty good at just like just being there. Even when they like fake try to leave, like Luann just goes like nearby and then she comes back.
Yeah,
she goes to a hotel room, you know. Yeah. New Jersey, Jackie did not go on some trips, you know, but admittedly, she was also having an emotional breakdown probably.
And also not invited, right? Because wasn't one of them where she couldn't come because...
Like George.
It was a couple's trip or something? Oh, no. I'm thinking Married to Medicine, and she did go on that trip.
Oh, those
You're talking quad, about Jackie yeah. from New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think that like when you see these things happening, that someone just is like going to up and leave, that's like fun for a trailer. But it actually indicates, I think, a deeper issue going on with the cast. And it says that people are deciding what they want to show and what they don't want to show. And when that starts to happen, we don't really get, like, the same authentic shit. Like, when they were all in South Carolina together and they were all partying, they were being really real at that moment. And they were having fun. And that's why it was so compelling, because we were all watching, and we're watching just like this amazing, crazy Bachelorette night, and we all loved it because it was like a bunch of women being themselves, having fun, and it reminded us all of times when we've done things like that, you know, yeah. Like fucking Bolo in the middle of the night, right?
Hell yeah, never forget. So
yeah.
basically what happens next is the electricity goes out because the storm is going crazy. And you think, oh my God, it's going to be this wacky Real Housewives of Atlanta in the dark. But it's not. They just go home. I'm like, well, this trip sucked.
But it is actually more in the dark than you'd expect. Like, I was like, oh, we're just like watching darkness right now in subtitles of people being like, I can't find my thing. And no one puts on their flashlight on their cell phone. They're just like stumbling around in the dark. It's like, this is what a blackout is like. We're just watching the darkness in a hotel.
So we go back to Atlanta, and we get a nice scene with Drew and Ralph and their terrible, scary marriage. Ralph just being like, you like the hot tub?
Yeah, he's still on his, I'm the world's best husband. I just want to say also, I want to give a shout out to Morgan Chesky, who is a reporter from the NBC Universal World of News. And he just is like a really hot guy who came on to be like, oh, this is the worst hurricane to hit this late in the season, and I'm hot. Thank you, everyone. Bye. So I just want to just
– He is hot. He's like legit hot and not just news hot. Because you know how there's news hot?
Yes.
You're kind of like Men's Warehouse kind of hot, but not real hot. This guy is like legit real hot. Although he does have – news teeth, which make me crazy, which is where they're so bleached that they're like Ross from Friends, where they're just like fluorescent teeth. Yeah. But yeah, he's hot.
I would love if some of his backstory was that he worked at Channel 4 in New York and had to work with Sue Simmons back in the day, and that she like really tried to seduce him, and that's like part of his story. To those who know who Sue Simmons is, you'll understand. To everyone else, it doesn't make sense. But for those who want to know about Sue Simmons, she was on NBC4 for a really long time. And famously, during one of the teases about like coming up at 11, you know, this story, something happened, and live on the air, you just hear her go, "What the fuck is this about?" And that's Sue Simmons, icon.
So then we go over to the Envy movie set with Candy getting advice on acting from Clifton Powell. And he's like, know your lines and remember where you're supposed to be standing, because they do move the cameras. And she's like, oh.
Yeah, he acts as if they are like rebooting Howard's End. He's like, you know, it's all about focus and study and discipline and consistency. And you have to get your lines right, you know. These are those moments. I'm like, okay, Anthony Hopkins, relax.
So then we go over to Kenya. So now Biden is winning, right? It's the election.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they decided to like address the election on this show.
Yeah, out of nowhere. Now everybody's cheering that Biden won, and Kenya's super excited. And then Portia goes over to Cynthia's house to do some Instagram ads for Black-owned businesses, which is just funny because A, they can't seem to do it, which is hilarious. And B, because they played
yeah. Which I am gonna put in a request that song plays during Jen Shah's trial. Like anytime someone walks in, you know, to the courtroom.
Ma'am, please put your right hand on this Bible.
I just hope the entire SLC score plays, because they have some real winners on that show, and they mostly sound like this.
So they do that, and then it's time for the Blaze Steakhouse opening.
Yeah, Blaze. So the steakhouse is finally happening. It is in some sort of strip mall, which is very LA, also very Todd. You know, I don't think we really talked about the fact that when we went to OLG, how that restaurant is like on a road that's like you can't stop on that road. It's not a highway.
It is, but it's not like a highway, right? It's the frontage road of a highway, right? Isn't it like the highway, and then there's an exit, and you come off the exit, and then it's right there. So you have to kind of keep going around the block.
It's like if it's like when you get out of your Uber, you feel like you have 10 seconds before you get run over.
Yeah, girl, like, you You push the Ben out of the car. Yeah, he's like, it's coming up. And you open the door and you just take Ben's seatbelt off and just push his ass out onto the sidewalk.
So this one, Blaze, this steakhouse, there's a big old Mustang out front. And I believe that Todd rented it and had it put out front to make it seem cool. Like, please tell me I'm wrong, because you know that that's like a Todd thing. He's like, here's what we got to do, babe. Oh, yeah, we got a Mustang. And we put it out front because this is that sort of place. It's cool like that, you know?
Yeah. Then we get the parade of very slow arrivals, okay? Drew and her guy come in, and he's like, I'm the best husband in the world. And then Cynthia arrives, and she's just in like a, you know, simple, pretty black dress just coming into the restaurant. But it's like, walk, walk, walk.
And everyone's admiring this restaurant, and, you know, it's the place is kind of cheesy. At one point, I also want to mention that they're sort of, it's not like a restaurant opening, it's just a tasting. So there's still some things being set up, and we see there's this one guy who works there who's like gingerly lighting the outdoor fireplaces, because, you know, they're like truly like the namesake, they are ablaze.
They will set you on fire, yeah.
So he's like underneath it, and he's like, it's like being very careful. And then all of a sudden Todd takes the lighter and he's like, hey babe, we're gonna light this on fire. He just like puts his entire like hand into this thing. He lights it, like it's like it blows up, and he's like, oh, my knuckle hair. I'm like, Todd, you know, this is what you get for trying to be a cool guy, right? Because there was no need for him to light that fire. But he decided that he wanted to do it because he wanted to basically floss for the cameras and for everyone there. He'd be like, look at me. Look at all the stuff I do. I know how to light a fire. I'm like, yeah. Do you not see the guy who is treating this fire pit with utmost respect? It just was such a Todd thing.
He's probably really gone through like all the fire training. You know, they're like, this is our special fire guy. And Todd's like, the cameras are here. I'll do it. Oh,
yeah. Because he's that kind of boss who does that shit. Because we all have had a boss where it's like, you like have something that you do and you have a way of doing it and it's very careful and thought out, and there's like it's had to be that way because you've been told to be that way, but then the moment there's like someone of prestige coming by, the boss comes in and just tries to do it themselves and they fuck it up. We've all had a boss like that.
Yeah. So then everybody enters one by one to this. Oh my God, hi!
Oh my God!
And we get that whole hello for 10 minutes, the 10-minute hello of the cast.
Truly, and then, for 10 minutes.
Yes, and basically Marlo and Kenya come in, and Marlo is just being nice to everybody. She's like, hi, oh, you can hate me all you want, Shamia, but hi anyway, Shamia. And then Portia ends the episode by saying, you want to act like you didn't call me a Samuel L. Jackson motherfucker? Get out of my face.
Yeah, and then it goes to be continued. I'm like, I don't think this is a cliffhanger.
Like, I don't need this to be continued.
this is not a, like, ooh, what are they going to say to each other? And I was like sitting there, fingers crossed, like, please say next week on the season finale. But it was like, no, next week. I don't even remember. But I was like, this is
just
painful.
Did the reunion, right? Because I've seen everybody's reunion looks or whatever being posted all over. So that usually means 6 weeks left.
Which, and I'm worried,
you know,
about
I'll
that
tell
reunion.
You the good news. We have too many shows to be watching right now on Bravo. We are over our limit. So that's the good news.
Yeah. You know, I have to say also, like, I'm worried about this reunion that they're going to be scraping for content because, like, I love Shamia. I think Shamia is wonderful and she's like a ray of sunlight. And she's at the reunion and I'm like, why is Shamia at the reunion? Is it because I'm assuming that Tanya's not going to be there? So maybe they're going to try to get some scoop from Shamia. But this doesn't make sense unless there's like a major Shamia incident in the next few episodes. But like the fact that they have Shamia there makes me feel like they're going to be trying to like really draw out this reunion to like, it'll definitely be 3 episodes. And God help us if they try to bring it to 4.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move over to Married to Medicine, shall we?
Let's do that. And, you know, before we do, I forgot to announce something. It could be vaguely annoying for some people, but the Crappins Peloton ride is actually happening, and it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be on Tuesday at 4:30 Pacific. It's going to be like Cody's like the one that everyone loves, and he's doing a live ride, and it's pop music. So we're just going to do Cody's live ride tomorrow at 4:30 on Peloton. So make it. Gosh, so if you want to join, yeah, do the hashtag Watch Our Crappins, because there's like 500 people on there with the hashtag now. It's so cool. So
that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? It's so fun. Like, you go on and it'll be like people from Watch, like with the Watch What Happens tag are exercising right now. And it's just like really cool. It is cooler than I would have thought. It's like a nice sense of community. So on a bike. So join for that Peloton ride and you can see me like have terrible numbers on the leaderboard.
All right. So Married to Medicine. Michael is still going to college, basically.
Michael is going to college.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's still going to fucking college. And it's amazing how fast they grow up, because we see clips of him when he was just a little kid, which we've been watching on this show, you know. But yeah, that he stayed going to college for 20 years.
Yeah.
He grew up so fast, but he's been going to college for 20 years. So not really sure how they did it, but good job.
He is like, he represents a warping of the space-time continuum. I wish Einstein were still alive to study him. So we have Simone. Simone's on the phone talking to Toya, talking about how Toya stormed off from Heavenly's like tennis thing. And Toya's just talking about how she's just like, she just doesn't want to be around fake friends. And so, you know, and since Eugene's going to be off this weekend, she's inviting everyone that she knows that would want to turn up to come to her place. And that includes both Kari from season one and
Lisa Nicole. My husband is not cheating on me. How dare you, Quad?
Are they still together, by the way? Do we know? Did they?
I assume so. Just because I haven't read a lot of terrible things on the internet about it. But I think Toya is basically trying to do her own recast, you know, which happens sometimes.
Honestly,
this is the cast I want.
It's not a bad recast.
Not a bad idea.
I'm not opposed. Like I was actually kind of disturbed that I was not upset at seeing Lisa Nicole come back onto the show. I know I love me Carrie. I love Carrie because she's so ridiculous.
And Lisa Nicole's still mad too, which I love. You know, I love when people just never let things go. I love a grudge holder.
Yeah, she's so awful. So then we see Anila with her mom, because her mom's finally leaving and she's hugging the mom goodbye. And Anila's husband, Kieran, is like, okay, let's go. Bye. Goodbye.
Then we get Toya in her house while Eugene is cooking. And, you know, Toya has to remind us that she's super rich by having to call her children in their own house because her house is so big. She's rich. Yeah. So she does that. And then Simone and Cecil arrive. So we start this, get this pool party going. They arrive with the pizza and she's like, why did you bring food? He's grilling. And he's like, Eugene told me to bring the pizza. She's like, he's not eating pizza. Do not let him eat pizza.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Toya would say this, given that they're like famously had like a giant candy bowl on their counter for like five seasons. So Carrie shows up and she is wearing a British flag, a Union Jack bikini. And she's like, hello, I'm Carrie. I'm back here. I have struggled with my bikini for 20 years. And it was only because of Duncan who helped me get this.
You don't understand unless you are the wife of a doctor.
If you're not the wife of a doctor, you can't go around and looking at text messages and saying that someone is so unclassy. You don't understand that.
And Lisa Nicole really hasn't missed a beat. Toya's like, wow, look at you. You're showing up without a cover-up even. She goes, don't forget, I had to go to the charity fundraiser that I was hosting for it. .. It's like, okay, Lisa Nicole's still playing the same game, you know. Not that charity's a game, but the way Lisa Nicole plays it.
Yeah, kind of and you could tell it. she was wearing an original Lisa Nicole creation, because it just sort of looked like she went running through someone's backyard and just got caught up in like laundry and clotheslines, you know, just like lots of flappy things. So they're walking around and Carrie's like, Toya, this is stunning. And Lisa's like, I just had flashbacks of .. She's like the queen of .. you know? And so we get to see that famous fight from season one, which it's been a while since we went to that fight, and I'm always happy to see it.
Yeah, they missed the best part though, because this is the part where Choya and Mariah are beating each other with purses and pulling each other's hair by the pool. The best part was when they cut to Miss Lucy and she's like, good, get her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... wow. Miss Lucy, you're still in our hearts, okay? And so then we see them hanging out, basically, and Anila meets Lisa Nicole, and Simone's like,
Lisa used to hang out with us, but she left us.
And Toria's like, she didn't leave us. Some people chased her out. And then we see clips of everybody being so mean to poor Lisa Nicole, who never did anything to anybody.
Oh, gosh. Remember Lisa Nicole's first season? I was like, why is this woman on the show? She does nothing. And then the next season, I was like, why is this woman on the show? She's awful. So now they're all in the pool and they're hanging out. And Lisa's like, every time I see Toya, she's finishing her tennis class. And then Toya's like, yeah, why don't we do that in Buckhead, Carrie? And Carrie's like, because I suck at tennis. I have struggled with tennis balls for the past 20 years of my life. And if it weren't for Duncan showing me that tennis balls are not bullets, I'd probably still be afraid to play tennis.
I only like the slutty skirt part of tennis. And Toria's like, well, some girls don't even wear panties under there. And Simone's like, wear panties under your tennis skirts.
Okay? So now Simone is trying to get her groove back. She's trying to be more sexual with Cecil now that Michael is heading off to college. So, you know, getting a groove back, which is also an ongoing thing. It's like every season someone's got to get their groove back. We always have to watch the grooves getting back.
Oh, my God. I was so glad when my groove left. Honestly, I just want to sit down. Like, can I?
Don't we want to buff out grooves? Isn't that like the whole point? Like, don't we like smooth surfaces?
My groove went down when Netflix started showing way like over the limit of original programming. So it was perfect timing is what I'm saying. So thanks, Netflix. So Simone is, you know, Simone's very sexual. I mean, not Simone, Toya. She's like, I literally had a dream about me and Simone having a threesome, guys. She had her legs in the air and she was being flip-flopped around. Mm-hmm. And, sees back, it just keeps cutting to Cecil hanging out with Eugene while he grills, and they're like, wow, you're really grilling. I sure am.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention given to the grilled oysters, and Eugene spends all his time making these grilled oysters, and then the women only allow them each to have one grilled oyster. I was like, I felt bad for the guys. Also, it made me really want to try one of those oysters. I feel like Eugene really throws down on the barbecue, you know.
Yeah, he knows how to cook, that's for sure. So they're talking about this wacky imagined threesome, and Simone's saying she needs to get her groove back, and Toya's like, well, you know, I went to Vegas and took a whole class on how to cheer dance. Why doesn't my man do that for me? I want my man to do a pole dance for me like that. Like, really? You want Eugene to do a pole dance?
Why do I feel like if we saw footage of Toya in her cheer dancing class, it would just be her with a chair trying to dance like Beauty and the Beast in the ballroom. Like, you can take my hand. No, I'm going to be in the lead. Just like moving, just waltzing with a chair in her hands.
I'm just imagining Eugene trying to hold onto a pole with his butt cheeks. Okay. I don't need this in my mind. Okay. My groove is now never coming back. So thanks.
Well, you can consult Whitney on Salt Lake.
They all get one oyster, like you said. And let's see, Toria's like, isn't this fun? This is so much more fun than having the other girls around. Sorry, Toya, you're not in casting, okay? Yeah. So then Simone falls off the floaty and loses her wig.
Which was a nice moment. I like that. So then so far, actually, the episode is like, you know, it's sort of moving along nicely. We got some old faces. We got a wig fall off. And then we go to Scott and Contessa's office, where Scott's there with Daddy and Eugene, and Scott's showing off the new medical offices and talking about, like, you know, it's like, and then they're like, oh, so you're gonna be working with Contessa, and now here we go, everyone chime in on what it would be like to work with your spouse. It's like the newlywed game, and you just sit there and you watch them like crack their jokes, you know. It's like pleasant, it's cute, but I'm kind of like, oh my God, like, how many like round robins do we have to do with the cast over every small thing about, like, oh, what would it be like if your husband brought you a latte every day? Like, oh my God, I can't.
And then Eugene has to hang the TV because he's the only one who really knows how to.
What do the wives think about it? Ask each one of them.
Hey, what could Cecil hang a TV? Oh man. And then And then I don't know if this is the most interesting part of the scene for me, because I really didn't care about, you know, what they had to say about anything. The most interesting part of the scene for me was the fact that Scott got a gaming chair for his office. Did you see that?
No.
He had a big box. The big box that his chair is a gaming chair, which actually makes sense because you could be sitting down for a long time. But I just thought, I just imagine like going to see a doctor and like sitting down and the doctor is in some like PS4 branded chair or PS5 that's just like has some sort of like Wi-Fi or headset built into it, and he's like giving you like the worst news of your life.
Yeah, he's like, hold on one second, I'm gonna get you. You just hear Call of Duty coming through the chair.
I need you to yeah, we're overwatching you. Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm playing Overwatch, sorry.
So then Overwatch. Contessa Contessa's being a rude ass to her niece-ish, like to Scott's niece.
Yeah.
And the lady is literally in rose-colored glasses, which cracks me up. So she's talking to Contessa, and she squirts some positive juice in the kid's face or whatever. And then Contessa is like, okay, you know what? My marriage sucks, so why don't you do some of this, whatever you do, burning or positive, whatever the bullshit you do is with your life. You know, do some of that stupid stuff for me.
Yeah. Wait, I just also want to point out that like the kids, she like has the kids like stepping in sand or whatever, and there's like a lemon, and she's like, is this your lemon? Take this lemon inside. I'm like, what sort of playtime is happening in that backyard? Like, hey, like what sort of toys is Contessa getting her kids? Okay, kids, I know you wanted a toy, but instead here's a lemon. Go play.
Well, that's like,
might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I give my dog little water bottles. He doesn't even like fancy toys. He's like, what would I do with this stuffed cat? Get this out of my face and get me a damn empty water bottle. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, give kids a cardboard box. They're going to have more fun with it than, you know, any sort of furry thing from Mattel. So, love you, Mattel. Feel free to sponsor our podcast. So, so Contessa's talking to this woman and, like, talking about Scott. Scott hasn't really let her dream and yada yada. It's, like, the same stuff from last season. And I'm also, like, you realize this lady's on Scott's side of the family. Like, what, like, why isn't that like an awkward thing to put someone, the position to put someone in? Like, this is her uncle, and you're just like shit talking him.
And you're also saying your husband doesn't support your dream when he's opening an office with you for you to like live out your dream. What the hell do you want from him, lady?
Yeah.
So then we go back to the office, and Scott's like, I just want a peaceful journey. And he's talking to Daddy now. And Daddy's like, well, you know what? Sometimes you just have to, like, let people live, you know, because if you don't let a woman live her dream, then she doesn't like you. I mean, now look, I let Heavenly do whatever she wants, and Heavenly lets me do I forgot what I was going to say there, but I'm sure it was helpful. Can we go drink now?
Yeah. Because I guess I forgot that we cut back and forth between these scenes. But we also have a moment where Scott talks about how he quit counseling, and then Damon talks about how he doesn't like counseling. And, you know, Heavenly's like, oh, well, he doesn't like it because he's the worst. He's a physician, and physicians make the worst patients because they're the doctor. They think that they know everything is right, yada, yada, yada. And Damon starts talking about why it didn't work for him. And
like, yeah, you know, anything like, that she said, the doctor would solidify what she's saying.
And she's
like, because he was right. He's like,
yeah,
no, he was wrong. That one particular doctor was wrong.
I feel like this is actually not a great look for Damon or for Scott, because I think, you know, mental health is a really important thing. And it's something that I feel like it's something that people have been talking about a lot more over the past 10 years. And like the importance of mental health, the importance of seeking out things like therapy if you need it, and destigmatizing it. And I just felt like as members of the medical community, it felt to me like, not really very cool that they were kind of treating it like
stupid.
It was some weird voodoo boogie woogie, you know, thing, you know?
Who needs therapy when you can have a game chair and a flat screen in your office and just never have to go home, you know?
Isn't that therapy?
Yeah. So then we cut back to Contessa saying she wants Scott to go back to therapy, and never notice that she's never saying we need it. She also quit therapy. So let's not forget that Contessa also quit therapy, and she keeps saying she just wants Scott to go to therapy. And she's like, well, we're all stubborn in my family, you know, are you sure you're not putting up a wall? And she's like, our relationship has sucked for 10 years, basically. Who cares, Contessa? I don't care. I'm bored.
Like,
please leave.
Literally
show.
No one cares. Like, you're just not interesting enough for me right now. So Scott wants to buy a boat. And that's where it is. Scott wants to buy a boat and Contessa wants to invest in herself. And guess what? You're never going to get your money back from either of those things. So good luck. So then we go to Dr. Jackie's office and Heavenly is, you know, she meets up with Dr. Jackie for lunch outside. And Jackie's like, I feel like I'm cheating by having lunch with you and not Simone. Should we have a flashback now? Let's have a flashback.
Yes. And so we get wacky lunches at that picnic bench with Simone and Jackie. And Heavenly goes, well, me and Simone had a talk, and she came to my house, and she did the best she could.
Yeah.
Heavenly's so bitchy. Tried. I love when Heavenly's so bitchy in that in the highest voice she can possibly muster. And she's like, look, you know, she made an effort, and so I made an effort. That's just what you do, you know? So you have to make an effort now. And Jackie's like, I don't know.
I'm just not sure. I mean, I like the idea of making effort. That's sort of in the world of fit as the new it, but I just don't know. So Heavenly's like, you know, you just sometimes just got to let it go. Okay. Like it's been 20 years. We can't let this happen. And remember when we went to Miami and they called us the Golden Girls, even though y'all are way older than I am. Remember that?
You guys called you the Golden Girls. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's they?
Yeah, I do want to know who is they.
You did that. So basically she makes Jackie call Simone. So Simone calls her and she's like, I'm calling to see when we can get together. I'm calling my friend to see when I can see my friend at a friendly lunch of friends having friend time over lunch of sandwiches made out of friends and wheat bread only, please. And Simone's like, like, of course, Simone is going to be an asshole about it, you know?
A total asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jackie's like, well, you make it sound like you're not my friend. And she's like, well, I'm willing to sit down and talk, but I don't want to put you in a situation and get your hopes up when you're looking for one outcome and I'm not able to provide you with that outcome.
And Jackie, honestly, I feel like I see her heartbreaking on TV. I know, like, there are people who are still like, oh, she was so mean. She's such a scold. But like, I feel like she smiles and she's like, well, nothing beats a failure but a try. But I feel like on the inside, well, she's probably kind of pissed. But she's also like, God, that's like that. I did not like that response from Simone. I thought it was actually pretty obnoxious. Just say sure. And if it's not the outcome that Jackie wants, then it's just not the outcome. But like, it's just.
Yeah, you know, she's being an asshole.
Simone's making it hard for me to. Yeah, she's making it hard for me to like see her side of the situation anymore.
And it was I never saw her side of the situation because her side of the situation is that she's mad that Jackie became friends with Heavenly. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
Like you guys are all on a show together. You're all working together. You can't get mad that people make friends at work. I mean, that's ridiculous. And your fight with Heavenly was so silly. And your husband started it with Heavenly too. While we're at it, ma'am.
Yeah, I think that Simone is totally in the wrong here. I think Jackie, we said this before, Jackie was like off last season in terms of what she did with Buffy, but it does not, but this is, I think Simone is being really, I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know what psychologically drives her to do these sort of things, but it's happening. So then we go over to Anila and she's at her new McMansion. And she's with Victor, the cabinet maker, and Melissa, the designer. So Kieran comes over and he just looks like, you know, he's just like perpetually annoyed, right? But he's like that, he's that person who's always annoyed, but can't help but do exactly what is like is obligated of him, right? So he's like, oh, I have to shoot this show. So I'm going to show up. He's like, okay. And he's had 11 surgeries that day. So, you know, he's just come in after 11 surgeries. And Melissa, the designer's like, well, lots of money to be spending. Here we go. You get to make some choices today. Spend that 11 surgery money, huh? He's just like, I fucking hate this. I hate all of this.
Yeah. And, you know, she is being completely unreasonable. Like she's walking into things that are already done. She's walking into rooms that are done. Like she walks into a room that she picked the tile for the room and she's like, this tile's too slippery. And then she walks into the bedroom and she's like, I really hate that there's not windows on that wall. Well, the house is built. So
yeah. And she goes, well, and the budget is up to $3 million now. She says it as if like due to things that happened in nature because a volcano erupted in Sicily. Well, now our budget's $3 million. It's like that's $3 million because you pushed it to $3 million. You could have just said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, don't act like you're just, just innocent bystanders, and these numbers are going up because that's just what happens in life. Like, you created that.
Yeah, and we get the basic, like, I want to build a dream house. And then his, exactly, and the dream house is becoming a nightmare. So yeah. Then we go to Eugene and Toya in the bathroom. He needs her to give him a shot of testosterone in his butt because he can't reach back to his butt or
yeah.
the part to plunge it in or whatever. And well, so yeah. she's like really scared of needles or whatever. And so he talks about how most guys would be ashamed of admitting that they need testosterone. But he's not. He's man enough to admit he needs some testosterone.
Right. I don't know why he needs the test. I mean, he says his test. I guess his testosterone is depleting.
It's because I don't know
why. Oh, is his hips hurt?
His hips hurt or his legs hurt or something? Yeah.
No, so I thought that's why he was giving. No, I thought he had been giving himself testosterone in his legs. He was giving his legs the day off. But I don't know why. Like, I guess is it just for sex drive? I don't know.
Well, he said that he's been sluggish and his sex life hasn't been very good. So he's amping it up.
Well, the sluggish. Okay. Well, I'm not going to get into some things there, but, you know.
You're not going to pull a Dr. Jackie? Is that what you're
saying? I'm not going to pull a Dr. Jackie. I'm not going to pull a Dr. Jackie. So I'm just going to say, God bless.
He's like, well, men, you know, women go through menopause and men have andropause. And Tori's like, why does everything have to sound so great for you guys? Andropause. How does andropause sound great?
It sounds like androids. Like, yeah, you know, we just become androids. And then Toya goes, you know, in my house, that my kids think that I'm the doctor, so they always come to me when anything is wrong. I'm like, no, that's I guarantee you, none of your kids think you're the doctor in the house.
So that's pretty much that.
And then we get like a Trixie song. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, no, please.
That there's a Trixie song. This was a new one. It was really good. It goes like this. Breathe in, 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 breathe in.
So now is the part where Michael's going away to college again. And that's 20 minutes.
Did anyone remember the very final shot of Good Will Hunting? Imagine that, but for 20 minutes. And about Michael and Simone and Simone's family.
So then we go to Heavenly's office, and her son is now going to be working for her. Damon Jr. is going to be working for her. And I was cracking up just how she walks him around the office because she just speaks in that really high, squealy voice. She's like, I'm so glad you're here, baby. Don't touch that.
Don't touch that, baby. No. And so then we have an update on Miracle, the girl who got her teeth punched out by a police officer. And basically Heavenly is kind of matchmaking a little bit, but not, because she's like, I feel like I couldn't tell if she was saying don't look at my son that way, or if she was saying, no, this is the sort of woman that you want, a Michelle Obama type.
You should get a Michelle Obama like this. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. I'm just talking about you.
Yeah.
Don't look at my son. So then her teeth, I have to say, Yelp review of those teeth.
Amazing.
They looked great. Yeah, they looked
real. They looked fantastic. So now, meanwhile, Michael's still going to college.
Still going to college, you guys.
He's now at college. I have to say, I did think it was cute, but there was that scene where the parents were in one car and Michael and Miles were in another car, and Simone's calling Michael and be like, you're going too fast, which that was like such a mom thing right there. I really enjoyed that. But anyway, so now he's being moved into his dorm room. I am concerned about what his mental health will be like after being in that dorm room. It is just like, it is about as institutional of a dorm room as one could imagine. Just full on cement blocks. It's like, man,
cement blocks.
Lee College, come on, put some effort into your housing there a little bit. Come on now.
So yeah, he goes to college, and that's pretty much
goes to college, and there's, it was sad. I will say this, that it was sad when they have to give their final goodbye to Michael, and we get the flashbacks, and I was like,
I'm just not buying it. I think next week is still going to be like, Michael went to college, and then it's going to be 20 minutes of clips of Michael still going to college. Or like,
yeah, he's not there yet.
Remember when we were in the car last week taking Michael to college, and then it's going to be a 20-minute clip of them in the car taking Michael to college.
I know. I'm a little concerned about Miles, by the way. I'm a little concerned about, like, not that, like, okay, he dropped out of school, that's fine, but like he's kind of just becoming a mouth breather, like a, I'm like, can we get a wellness check on Miles? Can we make sure he's going in the right direction in life? I'm getting a little worried about him. Michael, I have all the Michael's doing great.
Yeah, at one point they were like, so Miles, do you have any advice to give Michael about college? You know, like maybe why it didn't work out for you. And he's like, well, you know, you really have to have like goals. You can't just say like, I'm going to go to college. You have to have goals like, I'm going to have A's.
He's like, yeah, people told me just to be successful. And that was too big. And I wish someone said like, you have to, you know,
go to class.
Yeah, you have to get A's or go to class. I'm like,
you have to wake up in the morning and actually go to college.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, Married to Medicine.
You know, that's real. But it's real. It's real. So Married to Medicine.
That brings us to the end of some Married to Medicine, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Tomorrow we'll be back with Below Deck Sailing Yacht. So come on back now, you hear?
Yeah, everyone have a great day. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew Sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.